Well, good morning, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. For the next 2 hours, you're stuck with me. My name's Mark Salem, flying pilot. I'm flying pilot to my what do I call you? I can't really use
it. Yeah, you shouldn't do it on the air.
Is my wife. She's helping me out today, as she does all the time. I was able to hang a microphone on her about a year ago, and so she's decided that rather than yelling at me in the quiet, you can actually talk to me.
Exactly. But I don't have to correct you and remind you what you did wrong on the air. I can just do it right in person.
Oh, that's good. That's good about live radio. Yeah. But Gil has your button.
Okay? I know.
And so he can take you right down that yeah. fast.
So can you, but yeah. I can do you, too. I can reach yours.
602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Larry Harker's Auto's been around since 1967. I don't know of very many shops that have been open that long. They're at 38th Avenue and Indian School. Bob and Ellen run and operate Larry Harker's Auto. Jeremy is a technician there that holds more ASE certifications than I have ever seen. He actually is certified in every test they make, and he's one of four in the United States that has that capability. So if you got a car that, you know, meows every time you turn on the radio, then he can probably track that down. But they also do oil changes all the way up to engines and transmissions and everything in between. So if you live near 38th Avenue in any school, may I suggest you stop by Larry Harker's Auto, get an oil change, and see how you like them and how they like you. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's, you know how aggravated I get when we're watching TV.
Yes.
Especially about car stuff. Because there's just so much that's wrong. Just so much that's wrong. 602-508-0960, you'll need to remember that phone number. We just watched something. It was on the news, and it was about this car warranty package. And we take everything from 20 to 150,000 miles and blah, blah, blah. And we're going to take care of this, and we're going to take care of that. I don't like those commercials because virtually nothing in there is the truth. Because I see the other end of that. So one of the things that really bothered me about this commercial mm-hmm. was that they showed a picture of the dashboard.
Right.
And it showed a check engine light, an oil light, and a battery light.
Yes.
And they were all red.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what?
Doesn't happen.
They're not red.
Yeah.
The check engine light is yellow, which means caution.
Right.
You can drive it. This is really self-serving, though, because mm-hmm. this is like the red light comes on, and they show it as a check engine light. They show it as red. I showed it to you.
Right.
And so that creates this perception. Now, when we talk to customers, we say yellow means caution, continue to go drive, and red means stop.
Yeah, continue to drive, but get it checked when you can, as soon as you can, not months down the road, probably.
Fair enough. So the check engine light should always be yellow. It always is yellow. It's never red.
Okay.
It's just the computer saw something that was a glitch, something it didn't like. It turns on the check engine light, and behind that is a code. You can get the code, and you can Google the code, and you can go get doctors and have everybody tell you what to do with it. But I can't tell you. If you give me the code, I cannot diagnose your code over the radio or over TV or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Can't do it. There is serial stream data behind that. And otherwise, we get to watch a lot of sensors work. So if the throttle position sensor is at on a 1 to 10, well, we'll do it on a 1 to 5 scale because it really is. If it's at 1, that means you're at idle, and if it means 5, you're wide open throttle. So if we go test drive the car and we let it idle and it gives us the number 1, and then we go wide open throttle on your car, which is the way most of the time my wife drives, then we're going to see a 5. So we got those two dynamics. All right, what about the battery light that's red?
I have no idea. I mean, I think if you had a battery that was dead or it's not working, you wouldn't be going.
Okay. And what it is, it's I see something in the electrical charging system.
Okay.
This might be the only exception in this respect. You can drive it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you're going to run out of electricity sooner than later.
Okay.
So if you need to drive another mile home, I would say to you, come on home.
Mm-hmm.
Because the alternator light or the battery light is going to be a battery, an alternator, some kind of an electronic glitch. But most of the time it's because the battery voltage drops below the threshold,
okay.
which is about 13 volts. So it doesn't mean stop where you're at. Okay, how the red, the oil light,
mm-hmm.
red?
Yeah, I would say stop
That has to be stopped.
Right.
Because you've got an oil pressure problem, and the risk is huge. Mm-hmm. The risk is a motor. And so you have to pull over and stop within the count of five.
Yeah. A tow is a lot cheaper than an engine.
We say that all the time.
Yeah.
We say that all the time. So with respect to an oil light, which is red, mm-hmm. got to stop right now.
How about an overheat, I think, too, would be the other thing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Now, the overheat, if you got a block more to go, yeah. And same with the alternator light, the battery light, just go.
Mm-hmm.
And the alternator light, I would say if you're 10 minutes away from home or you got another 10 to 15 minutes of driving,
mm-hmm.
and I'm playing the odds there, but the chances are that if the voltage drops below 13, the light probably comes on. Well, you've got between 13 and 12 volts to continue to drive. Mm-hmm. I would turn off the air conditioning. I would turn off a lot of the accessories that consume electricity, and I would drive it home if it was another 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So there's red and there's yellow, and they kind of mean something different, but red means stop. So the default is stop because
mm-hmm.
a tow is cheaper. And the red means stop, but the yellow means continue on. You're okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the commercial we were looking at showed all three of them red, the check engine light, the battery light, and the something else. I forget.
Oil light.
And you're saying that really never happens like that.
Well, it'd be really ironic if you got all three of them.
Okay.
If you had an overheat light, that was not one of them. It was oil.
It wasn't.
It was battery, and it was oil, battery, check engine light.
Yeah.
If you had an overheat, that's going to be a red one.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to stop then. If we have an ABS, usually that's yellow
mm-hmm.
because the ABS system's down, but your brakes are fine. But a red brake means you got to stop.
Stop, too, if you can. Oh.
Yeah. No, you're going to be able to stop. So, well, I don't know that anybody's come in with a red brake or ABS. Because ABS is just anti-lock braking system, and when the light comes on, the computer's saying, I shut that down. Not your brakes, but the ABS.
Yeah. Maybe explain, they know ABS.
Yeah.
What that is.
Automatic braking system.
Okay.
So it's an assist. So it keeps your tires from skidding. So if we can stop you fast and keep the tires rotating, and the computer cycles the fluid. So it's watching the speed of the tire, and you're doing, in your case, 110 miles an hour. You apply the brakes, and if the tire goes to zero, the computer releases that. This happens at the blink of an eye.
Okay.
And it releases the pressure, and then they see the tires start going, and it's looking at all the rest of them, and it's going, okay, everybody's going, 90, 89, 88. So it knows what the parameters are.
Yeah.
And when the computer loses sight, you're driving down the road, and three of the tires say 55 miles an hour, and one says zero, mm-hmm. your ABS light's coming on.
Okay.
So that's
and
all
you'd still have manual brakes. You just wouldn't have the great stopping ability, but you still should be able to stop.
Not manual brakes. You'd have your normal brakes, but you're right about everything else.
Okay.
Because
all right. Or that's what I meant, just a normal braking. And by the way, mm-hmm. you're the only one in this room that's ever gone 110.
I don't remember that, but let's go to the callers. Gil, who's first?
That would be Charles.
Charles, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Thanks for taking my call. I got a 98 Toyota Tacoma, just a little base model, two-wheel drive, 2.4 liter. About a month ago, I'm getting on the freeway, and I stick my foot in it, and it starts stumbling. It throws a code, tells me it's the mass airflow sensor. So I replace it, one from AutoZone. It helped. It cleaned up the stumbling, but now it's hard to start in the morning. Got to crank it three or four times before it finally lights. And I've been doing a little research on it. Somebody said it might be the idle air control valve. Wondering what you might think about that.
Okay, you gave me everything I need to know. I'm getting ready to chew your butt.
Okay.
Really and truly. And let me just think out loud. And at the end of this conversation, my wife's going to go, simmer down, which is what she always says. Let me ask you a question. Do you still have the check engine light after you replace the mass airflow sensor?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. That's the risk. Now, you got a car that's 98. So if I'm not mistaken, that's 30-some-odd years old. right?
It's 22 years old.
Okay, well, don't fix my math. Okay. I got a lot on my plate right now. I got my wife, and I'm trying to get my button in case she says a bad word. Okay, the mass airflow sensor, the boot, there's a hose in front of it. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts, that's a pleated hose. And I'll bet you dollars to donut, that hose is leaking air. Now, here's why.
I replaced it.
Okay.
Brand new.
Is that the front one or the back one? The one closest to the air filter or the one closest to the motor?
Yeah, the one closest to the air box.
Okay. Is the mass airflow sensor just attached right to the intake, or is there another hose behind the mass airflow sensor?
There's a small coupler that goes between the throttle body and the metal tube that goes over to the elbow tube.
Okay. All right. You know, what the computer's, and especially because you have the code still, the computer's saying, I have some unmetered air, or I don't understand it. Normally at 20 miles an hour, I see a number of 2. But in your particular case, I see a number of 1. So I'm thinking to myself, and so is all the technicians I know, we have unmetered air. So we got air being introduced to the motor, and the mass airflow sensor isn't measuring that air, doesn't have a chance to measure that air. It could be a small amount of air, 10% of the air. But the computer's going to look at the historical data and go, wait a minute, if I'm doing 50 miles an hour, I should have, you know, 5. But in this case, I got 3. So it's that kind of dynamic. Now, the idle air control motor, that's just a joke. The idle air control motor opens and closes and controls your idle. You want to test the idle air control motor? Do this. Get in your car, stand outside, the hood open, and have your wife start it up. And you don't stand in front of it. You stand on the side of it, okay, just in case she's mad at you. So you stand to the side and you listen to the motor, close your eyes, and then you say to your wife with your hand, turn on the air. You're going to hear a click, and you're probably going to hear the idle drop just a tad and come right back up. That's the idle air control motor says, oh, we just dropped. Let's bring them back. So air on, air off, and you'll see that. There's no way an idle air control motor is going to cause a mass airflow sensor code. There's just no way. So I want to caution you because I'm guessing, and I get to talk to you. I get to ask you things. And so on the Internet, I could make $1 million putting those stupid videos up there as if I was some kind of
what
an
else
expert.
Would cause a hard start after that?
And that's a good thing. When he first said that it fell on its face, I'm thinking fuel pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said he had a mass airflow sensor code. Mm-hmm. Well, the mass airflow sensor doesn't care what fuel pressure is.
Okay.
Not at all. So that was the kind of dynamic. I was thinking along with what he said. I let him go because mm-hmm. I got lots of information.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it is. And stop guessing me, second guessing me. Okay, we've got a caller. Gil, who is going to wait through the break?
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Charles. Hey, Gil, do we have another caller?
Go ahead.
Gil, do we have another caller?
Yeah, but we also have a break.
Oh, okay. I was just going to...
Tom
is next. Okay, I just wanted to tell him. Tom, you're next. Stay there. 602-508-0960. 20 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem. Renee Salem sitting here next to me. 602-508-0960. John, you stay right there because in about 10 seconds I'm coming to you. If you're anywhere near I-17 and Deer Valley Road and you don't have a shop, Action Auto is at that corner on the north. West corner. Full service, family owned auto repair shop. Tom's been around since 1983, and I've known Tom since 80 through 83. I knew him even before he opened up his own shop. He's a good guy. He has ASE Master certified technicians, and he'll make sure you're treated fairly. So that's Action Auto, northwest corner of Deer Valley and I-17. Did I say Deer Valley right?
Mm.
Yep. All righty, we're going to go to John. John, good morning.
Good morning. What do you think of these synthetic synthetic oil filters that say they can go 20,000.
It's a tag. Okay, we're kind of making the filter sound like the oil. It's true that we can go between 15,000 and 20,000 miles on a synthetic oil. It's true. And the reason why is that the parameters of protection are huge. Put your hands 3 inches apart, and that's regular oil. Put your hands 6 inches apart, and that's semi-synthetic or blended oil. Now put your hands 2 feet apart, and now you got synthetic. What they want to do is that if they put an oil filter that says synthetic, it's going to cost you more, and it won't do a damn bit of good. So I want to tell you that virtually every oil filter in the United States is either made by Wix or Champ. Wix or Champ. There's no one that can argue about that. And I can tell you that the same filter goes through the same manufacturing of a particular number. Let's call it a pH 30. A 30 goes through this manufacturing. Then when it goes through the paint booth, it gets painted of, you know, 20 different names. So I'm willing to bet, and I would really like it if you'd let me know, mark@marksalem.com. Let me know what you find with respect to the new synthetic filter cost to you, and then the regular Fram or Champ or Wix or something like that.
Yeah.
But you don't need the synthetic filter. You don't need it.
So you think just a regular filter will go that long, too?
Absolutely.
Okay.
What they're doing is they're tying into your oil.
Right.
And they're saying, oh, the oil's going to go 20,000, so can our filter. Well, so can my filter that's $299.
Okay.
It can go that long.
Okay. Don't,
all righty.
So you can use synthetic oil with a regular oil filter.
Yeah. Oh, I do. Let's change the question.
Okay.
Change the question.
That works.
Yeah. How many synthetic cars you got, Mark? 5, 6, 7? In the fleet, in the shop.
Yeah, I use semi-synthetic, but I know you guys use synthetic.
Right. I use synthetic. Alan uses synthetic. Andy uses synthetic. Everybody.
Yeah, for the diesels.
And the diesels.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And the answer is I buy the cheapest oil filter I could find. It's true. I do.
Know.
I buy the cheapest oil filter I can find.
Yeah.
Well, that's good news to know. Well, thank you.
All righty. You betcha.
Hey, back to Charles.
Yeah.
So he should probably go and get it checked out rather than doing a bunch of different parts to just throw at the vehicle trying to fix it. It would probably be to his benefit to go to a shop that can actually diagnose it.
Okay, ring. Answer the phone.
Hello?
No, you don't answer the phone.
Salem Boys Auto.
Okay, I have a mass airflow sensor code on a Tacoma that's a 1998.
Okay.
What would the diagnostic charge be to tell me exactly what that is?
79 to 129.
Okay. And what dictates the difference between the two?
Just how much testing we have to do.
Okay.
We can read the code, and then we go in whatever direction that says, but we still have to do some testing in order to figure out what parts and labor is needed to fix your car.
And that's exactly you said. Yeah. Otherwise, we're going to get to the end, and we're going to be exact. We're not
exactly
going to be guessing.
And we're going to guarantee our diagnosis.
I want to put my own part in, though. You still do the diagnosis?
I mean, we do the diagnosis, but then we can't guarantee
your part,
the repair, and your part. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we got to. You got to put it in right, and you got to buy a good part.
Okay.
Okay. So that's really what it all boils down to. It really has to do with just six of one and half a dozen of the other.
Yeah.
The oil filter, just that, and those ads for that aftermarket warranty. Do we own an aftermarket warranty?
No.
And so let's talk about the aftermarket warranty real quick. Does it cover shop supplies and environmental charges and
Never.
Sales tax?
Never.
Okay. They always have a deductible, almost always.
Right.
Okay, and so we call them up and we say, hey, we got this Tacoma in here and it needs a mass airflow sensor. Mm-hmm. And they say, how much is the mass airflow sensor and how much is the labor? Let's pretend 150, 150.
Okay.
The mass air is probably going to be more than that, but
right.
150, 150. So they say, well, let us look, and they say, hey, we can buy one for $75. We'll ship you one.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, how long is that going to take?
Yeah.
Oh, it'll take a couple of days. So why don't you call my customer, your customer, and tell him that your truck's going to be held up for 2 days while you send me something from Korea in a regular box,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't have a name brand on it that I recognize. Well, that's what we're going to have to do. And also, we're looking at some labor books here, and you're way overpriced on your $150.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you think is, well, I only have $80. Well, I got $70 in diagnostic. Oh, no, it's only $25 to diagnose that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we go through all the time.
Right.
It's a fight all the time. And I remember we had a BMW in there that needed a rack and pinion.
Mm-hmm.
So we took the rack out because we needed some measurements on it. Our intention is to take the rack out, put it back in, a new one back in, or a rebuilt one, whatever. So we take it out and we look at it. We put it back in. They call us and they say, well, we need some more numbers on it. And we got our numbers, but okay, we drop it back down. So they say, okay, well, we're going to send you a rack because they don't like our price. And I said, well, how long is it going to take you? And he says, oh, it'll take 4 or 5 days. And I said, I got this car apart on the hoist. You're going to tie up one of my hoists for 4 or 5 days. Well, just take it off the hoist. Oh, that's great. How am I going to steer it?
Mm-hmm.
How am I? What do I do? Just let it go?
Yeah.
So the whole thing is, and then they're always whittling on us. They'll never pay us fair market value. Mm-hmm. They'll always complain if we're buying a dealership part, although I'm an advocate of that. There's lots of parts you don't need to go to the dealer. But they never let us go to the dealer, even if it's a proprietary part, mm-hmm. if it's nothing else we can get. Yeah. We tell them that. It's a fight.
It is a fight. Yeah, it is. And most of the time they come back and say, oh, we don't cover that under your policy. And I can't tell you how many times we hear that.
But what about this one? This is the king of all of that. We're not going to cover her radiator.
Uh-huh.
Why? Well, because she can't show a transmission flush.
Yeah, I remember that.
What has a transmission flush got to do with the radiator? Well, there's a transmission fluid cooler in the radiator. He says, you know, the radiator went bad and because she didn't change her transmission fluid. I said, look, I'm leaking coolant. This has nothing to do with a transmission cooler leak. There's no oil in the radiator. All I got is coolant, but I'm leaking there. And there's no water in the transmission. So this has not, and they never bent on that.
Yeah.
So it's just game after game. And how many times do they actually ask us for maintenance records that are completely unrelated?
Yeah, quite a few.
They say, well, you know, where's the brakes at? Well, 95% gone. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I need to send some tire rotations. Why? Well, when you rotate the tires, you check the brakes. What difference it would have made if we want to change the brakes at 75 or 95? What difference does it make?
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to go past that 80% point, gone. 80%, 20% left. But they'll sit there and argue with us.
Mm-hmm.
One of the guys that used to run a phone bank in Arizona.
For the aftermarket warranty?
Lots of them.
Okay.
Lots of
them. Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about.
I never liked him.
Okay.
I never liked him. He wore the underwear of all of those people, and it was his job to deny claims.
Mm-hmm.
I was a friend of his, and we spoke. I didn't ask for his favors or anything, but I never did like him. Two reasons. Number one, who he worked for. And number two, how he cared. He wore their underwear. He wore their underwear. He used their shaving cream, and somebody stuck their hand and moved his mouth.
Okay.
And that... Thanks for getting me all wound up. 508-0960, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. I'm Mark Salem. Renee's here, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour, 10 o'clock. Thompson's Auto Repair is the only shop in Mesa that, I'm sorry, I can say attaboy, attagirl. Brian and Thelma are really good people. They have a really good shop. Both of them have tremendous family background in Mesa that probably goes back to the 60s. So if you're in Mesa, if you're in Mesa, Thompson's Auto Repair is who I'd go. They've been around in that location since 1970. They're on Main Street just east of Stapley. Let's go ladies first. She called in first. Darlene, how can I help you?
Oh, good morning, Mark. I have a 2011 Subaru Outback V6, which is getting close to the 60,000-mile service. And I have the little booklet that they say there are certain things that need to be done. And I'm wondering how much of it is foo-foo and how much of it really needs to be done.
Do you have the book in front of you?
I do. Now, the engine oil filter, I understand.
Got it.
I'm not sure about an oil treatment.
Oh, throw that away.
Okay. Rotate tires, I understand that.
Yep.
A fuel system treatment?
Nope.
I think that's just the bottle of the stuff that you buy and stick in your gas tank?
It's going to be between $79 and $125. We're going to spray this stuff in and clean the back of the intake valves, and we're going to do all that. And you say, what symptoms do I have today that you're going to fix? And they won't have an answer to that. Let's move on. That's bad.
Okay, so shouldn't do that.
Nope.
Okay. Replace the engine air filter. It has a K&N filter in it.
Clean it.
Yeah, I do. Brake fluid exchange?
Nope.
Okay. Front differential service and rear differential service.
And it's an 11, so it's 8. It's
2011.
It's 9 years old, 60,000 miles.
The rear differentials were done at 30,000, but I don't think the front was done.
Do the fronts. that I would do that.
Okay. A battery thermal service. I have baking soda.
And just make sure they're clean, and then paint the, go down and get some cheap paint, paint the positive red and the black, and the negative black, and here's why. You're with some people that have had a couple of drinks. They need a jump start. They lift the hood on your car, and it's dark. They can see red and black, so we know how to hook the cables up. That's something I've been doing since 1970s, is painting the cables just for people, so using enamel paint.
An engine decarbon.
Nope. Oh, yeah, these are... Okay. All right, we've already passed on $300 to $400 worth of stuff.
That's why I'm checking, because I think a lot of this is a moneymaker. And then they say replace spark plugs, non-turbo and non-new age. And I'm not sure, I can't find in the book what type of spark plugs I have.
Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference. You're going to change them at 80 to 100. Unless you have an engine miss. So 80 to 100, you're going to do plugs.
Okay, and a coolant fluid exchange. But in the book, it says this doesn't need to be done for 11 years or 100 and some odd thousand miles.
You just answered your own question, and you also said something about brake fluid flush.
Yes.
No, the answer is no. Now, there is a test for moisture. There is a test for moisture, so you can say to them, first of all, give me the parameters for brake fluid test, moisture test, and let's pretend on 1 to 10 scale. They say, I need it to say 9 to 10. And you say, fine, run the test and give me the results. So that you can do
and,
that.
2 minutes.
Okay. A service automatic transmission.
Because of the years, I'd probably do that. You're 9 years into this. I don't care about the 60,000, but here's the problem. Heat cycles. How many times has it been fully heated up and cooled down? There's a good chance that only 50% of the time has this gone to Flagstaff and back. That's the kind of heat up and heat cycle. So, yes, if you were my mom, and I liked my mom, and I do, I would say, let's go ahead and do the 60.
Okay, it spent a lot of time in Canada, so it didn't have the heat system from down here. An injector service?
Nope, that's the same as all the other flushes. Those are called wallet flushes. Okay, we're just flushing your wallet.
Okay.
But you know what?
That's true.
Have you got a number on this service?
How much? Repair? Yeah, service.
No, I haven't. I just have the book. I'm just getting the information, so I don't look like a dumb woman going in.
Okay.
And then they say a throttle bottle service and an internal engine decarbon.
My goodness.
Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man.
Crazy.
I tell you what, if somebody gives you a bid, that's going to be north of $1,000. So, all right, give me a couple more real quick because I'm up against a break.
That's it.
Oh.
That's it. So actually all I need to do is you said to do the brake fluid, to do the front differentials, and to do the automatic transmission.
Yeah, and clean the air filter and change the oil and check the brakes while you're there. This is a wallet flush extraordinaire. This is a wallet flush. Now, let me ask you a question. The list you just went off of, you said something about it's different than the owner's manual. I thought we were going through the owner's manual. Or is this a list provided by somebody else?
This is the one from the car dealer.
Oh, answers my question. That's exactly.
But then I actually looked in the book, and it did check off. A lot of it was inspect, but then the spark plugs they said to replace. And I really thought that was probably a non-event right now.
Okay, but you also said flush the injectors, flush the intake manifold, flush the back of the back of the valve.
Internal engine.
Flush the internal engine. All those flushes are going to be north of $100. So the answer is no. Got to run, but we've done a great job, and this is a perfect example of two different. The one on paper that she was provided by the shop. Let's just go by the shop because independents and chain stores do that too.
Yeah.
So the one that's provided by the vendor is always self-serving. It's always got stuff on there that we... Do you know how long it takes us to do some of those flushes?
Yeah.
I mean, we might be using some expensive equipment that's already been paid for, but we make a lot of money on those flushes. Here's the difference, folks. There has to be a symptom related. So if you have a symptom and they say, we need to flush your tailpipe, you look at them and say, I'm not paying for guesses. If you're going to flush it and you're going to fix it by flushing the tailpipe, I'm going to hold you to that. But if I have a problem and I still have the same engine code or I still have the same symptoms, we're going to back this train up and I'm not going to pay for the $110 worth of wallet flush you just gave me. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that.
And good for you for looking in your owner's manual, too, because most people don't do that.
It's most men don't do that. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back, everybody. 43 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. In order, we're going to do these callers because the one's been waiting. But really quick, let me tell you something. I met a guy the other day named Bud. He's a colonel. Mm-hmm. Evidently, he only answers to the commandant, which gives you visions of MASH.
Okay.
He was one of the nicest guys I ever met, but he's big and tall and tough.
Okay.
So he was in the Marine Corps. He lives in Sun City.
Mm-hmm.
He says, who do I go to? And I said, you're going to go to Auto Dynamics. Auto Dynamics is the best shop in Sun City that I know of. They've been around a long time, since 1982. Derek runs it. His father opened it. His father is now retired. So they're at north side of Grand, 99th Avenue, Auto Dynamics, for those of you that live in that area. That's where you should go. Let's go. Gene, you're up first, and thank you for holding. How can we help you?
Oh, no problem. First of all, I love your show.
Thank you.
My question is, my son just bought a 1999 Toyota 4Runner. It's okay. Got 210,000 miles on it, so it's kind of old in the tooth here. But it has a really bad exhaust odor. I mean, very, very strong. It's like, I don't know if it's not burning the fuel properly or what, but it is horrible, horrible smell.
It doesn't have a color, or is it black or blue?
Smoke.
Smoke.
Out the tailpipe.
Okay. Oh, there's no smoke. I don't see any smoke.
Okay. All right, fair enough.
I don't see any smoke. It's just bad odor.
Okay, I'm looking. Is it a rotten egg smell?
No, it's not sulfur.
Okay.
It's like fuel.
Okay.
Smell.
All right. Well, if the catalytic converter's working, then you're going to have rotten egg smell. If the catalytic converter's not working, then you're going to have a sulfur smell. Or a sulfur smell. If... It's obviously running rich. It's not blue. So the smoke isn't blue, and so that's not oil. So it's just running rich. The question is why? Is the fuel pressure regulator defective and letting the engine suck raw gas out of it? Is the oxygen sensor bad, causing the engine to believe that it's running really lean, so the engine turns up the faucet for gasoline? All right, Renee, I got to check. I got a car that's running rich. Let's assume it has a check engine light on.
Okay, well, that's what I was going to ask him. Does it have a check engine light? No.
No.
Okay. Yeah. Probably 79 to 129, same thing.
And something's wrong here.
Right.
Okay,
yeah.
Either it's running rich and the check engine light is missing the bulb.
Right.
it's old.
Okay. All right, when you turn the key on, it comes on. That's good. I guess the answer is we don't go by codes. It's nice to know a direction by code,
mm-hmm.
but this should be an easy one. We're going to plug in our scanners. We're going to look at the O2 sensors work. We're going to make it run rich, and it better say 5, and we're going to make it run lean, and it better say 1, and so forth and so on. But if it's sit there and it's stuck at 4, and we're pumping all kinds of air into that motor, and we know we're running lean, or we start trimming down the fuel, then that's what happens. So this isn't going to be a tough one, but then here's the deal, too. Smell the oil, and hopefully it's kind of clean, but if the oil is just drenched in hydrocarbons and mm-hmm. gasoline, then we're leaking gas into the engine as well, and that could be an injector. An injector will...
No, I checked that. I didn't smell anything odd on the oil. It
okay.
looked clean and everything, so okay. I did check that, because I suspected that, you know, I thought that first. And,
yeah, you're running rich, but it's crazy to go out and replace the O2 sensors. You're more than welcome to do that, but there's a good chance that there's a lot of other places it could be.
Yeah.
So
it's better off just take it to a shop and have them put a diagnostic on it and figure out what it is.
You just say to them, how much, here's what I got. You stand at the back of the car and it smells like fuel. It smells like sulfur. It smells this way. Come and smell it. How much is it going to charge for me to diagnose this? And if they're a good shop, they're going to give you a range. If they tell you 200, I'm not sure, but I like a range. Yeah. They may say 100 to 200. I like that. Yeah. But anyway, got to run, Gene. Thank you very, very much. Paul, you're up next. How can I help you?
Thanks for taking my call, Mark. I'll try to not get you in trouble with your wife there on this call.
That'll be a first.
I love your show. Yeah, I've called before and you've helped me out in the past. I've got a 2006 Toyota Tacoma 2.7 liter automatic. The other day I had to do a little bit of a panic stop, and it appears that the ABS engaged when I did that stop. It didn't really skid, but I had to jam on the brakes. I wasn't going very fast when I did that. And it seems like ever since then, I've got a little bit of a chatter at low speeds, like maybe between 5 and 10 miles an hour, you know, when I'm just taking off and even when I'm slowing down in that speed range. And I didn't know if maybe something in the ABS system got tweaked when I stopped or
okay.
what.
I don't know if that's it or not. Is it front or rear? The chatter.
It feels like the front.
And when you gently apply the brakes, does it go away?
Not completely.
Okay. I need you to run that test. I need you to drive down the road. Drive down the road when the noise is there. Hold your foot steady, your right foot. Drive like your wife. Put your left foot gently on the brake and just gently apply the brakes. I just want you to go to the spot where you slow down. So just gently, yeah. I want to bring those pads into the rotors and drums, whatever you got. And if you say it goes away, then it's a brake adjustment. You probably went into an area of the brake application on front or rear, and you took it into an area it hadn't been for before. But if you don't have an ABS light on and you don't have a red brake light on, this is going to be something to do with the shoes or the pads.
The shoes. The shoes or the pads. Okay. Yeah. All right. I thought it was brake related, but I don't have a light on or anything, and all my bulbs are in there, too. Okay. I know that.
Well, the reason I'm having you do this test, and I just saved you $50, too. The reason I'm having you do the test is if you walk in and say, I got this chatter and this noise, I'm doing 30 miles an hour, with my left foot, I just go just to the point where I'm slowing down and the noise goes away, we're done. I mean, that's it. We're going to pull the wheels and find out which one it is. So, anyway,
okay.
Put an extra $10 in the plate next time, okay?
Will do.
Okay.
Guaranteed. Thanks a lot for your help.
You bet. Mike, you're up next. How can I help you?
Oh, yes, I have a 2001 Chevy Malibu, and it's got about 140,000 miles. Last year, the transmission started kicking, and so put in a few quarter or two of a transmission oil. I probably flooded it. Who knows? Anyway.
Okay, what does it mean it kicks? Is it a real rough shift, a real abrupt shift?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, all right. I'd probably want to drive that. I think you have a better chance of having something major wrong just because of the 140,000 miles, because that's six times around the equator. People kind of lose track of that. The equator is 24,880 miles or something like that. If I can round it off for mathematic purposes, it's six times around the girth of the earth. I'm not quite sure you're going to need a transmission overhaul. That's the worst case scenario, but I'm a little concerned about the fluid. It didn't change anything, but I wish you would have had the car at idle, and I wish you would have had it in park, and I wish you would have pulled the dipstick to see where you're at.
Yeah, that doesn't have a dipstick, unfortunately, this one.
Are you sure?
Yes, sir.
It's an 01.
Right.
It's a sealed transmission?
Mine was on 2001.
What?
That car that we
Chevy
have.
Right.
Well, let me ask you a question. Sealed transmissions don't have tubes to fill them up.
Yeah, it doesn't. That's
right.
True.
So he said he put two quarts in it.
Yeah.
Unless he put two quarts in the motor, I don't know. But an 01, and in order for him to put that in there, it can't be. You'll see it. No, just a minute. I'm having an argument with the lady. she knows more than
no,
I do.
No, I agree. I could never add transmission fluid. I could never check the fluid.
On your Edge.
Yeah, no, it was on the...
On the Jaguar. Oh, okay, well, that's a different story.
Yeah, but...
Yeah. No, here's what you do. Do you have a shop you like?
Not particularly.
Okay. Where do you live?
I-17 in Northern.
Okay, just go down to Action Auto at Deer Valley, I-17, or go down to Kurtz at Bell. And you tell them, I want to give you the symptoms. I want to kind of show you if you don't mind, and I'd like you to check the fluid. Okay? I'd like to show you what the symptoms are. Can we check the fluid first? And Mark Salem said he'd pick up the first $40 of the diagnostic.
Because there ain't going to be any. I probably put more than I should have in the transmission. I'm sure I have.
But
can you flood the transmission?
Yeah, it'll start spitting out the dipstick, too. But by the sound of your voice, I'm betting you're not 20 years old. And so I'm betting that you don't drive it like a 20-year-old. I could get it to spit if you wanted to. I could go roughhouse the hell out of it. So,
I'm getting up there, but I think every day.
Yeah. So are we, so it's all right.
Yeah. Do you have your Medicare card yet?
Oh, please. Yes, a few years now.
Okay.
One quick one. I just replaced the master cylinder. For some reason, the brakes seem to be a little mushy all of a sudden.
Did you do any fluid? Did you collapse the pistons with a C-clamp? Did you all the way around? Did you do any of that?
Yes, I saw my friend do that. Yes.
Okay.
He also bled the brake.
That's probably where we got it. See, if you leave the brake system closed and you use a C-clamp, then for the first 10, 20 applications, the pistons are going to go out. They're going to tighten up the pads, and you'll be fine. If you've got a spongy brake pedal, 85% of the time, it's going to be we got air in the system. And I got to tell you something. I'm not disparaging anybody, but I'd be kind of disappointed in the guys if they flushed the brake system, bled the brake system on a brake job unless they had a reason. And I probably would have been upset if I could go out and duplicate the spongy pedal. Now, the spongy pedal means it stops different places at different environments. 70-mile-an-hour stop, a 10-mile-an-hour stop, a 40-mile-an-hour stop, a hard stop, a soft stop. That's okay. When the pedal gets spongy.
So. It's not dangerous, though, is it? Am I okay?
As long as you come to a firm spot at the end, I want you to go to the local self-service car wash. Go somewhere where they have slick concrete, okay?
Right.
And it's Sunday morning. Nobody's up. And I want you to go kind of fast, 10, 15 miles an hour. Then I want you to jam on the brakes. Let the car sit right where it's at. Get out and look at the skid marks for all four. The front should be a little longer than the backs. And the front should be twice as long as the backs. And if you got one wheel that's not laying down black rubber, then it's your wife's fault.
All right, sir. I sure appreciate it.
Okay, you betcha. Spongy brakes. Gosh, I'm on a roll today. I have to behave myself because you're here.
Oh, I can leave.
You're in your pajamas. Go ahead and leave. I'll call you on that, okay?
Okay.
All righty. She's not. I'm just teasing you. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We got anybody in the wings?
Nope. All clear. No,
okay, lines are wide open. There's five of them. Is it? What did that mean?
What?
Jingle bells he just did.
No, that was the dog.
Oh, that was the dogs.
Yeah.
We're up north at the ranch, and the dogs are in the radio studio. Normally, they just lay down on the floor, but Jet just got up and shook, and I heard her collar jingle.
Jingle bells are all put away. So.
Yeah, okay. All righty. Anyway, when it comes time to car repair, you have to protect yourself. If I should give away some of those videos. We've got a videotape that's called Self-Defense for Car Expense. I made it for the Better Business Bureau years ago, and then it went to all the Better Business Bureau. And basically it says stuff like this. It says, when they tell you you have a problem, or they tell you we want to do something like flush your armpits, you need to say to them, what symptom are you going to fix when you do that? There has to be a symptom and a service, or a symptom and a repair. Oh, I need to do brakes all the way around. They're almost done. I can tell you 90% of the cars we check, the front and the rear brakes have a different measurement.
Oh, yeah.
Different. The fronts can be 30% gone, and the back can, let me change that around. Yeah, 30% gone, and the backs can be 10% gone.
Right.
So, and I don't care if it's drum or disc. I don't care. So there's always a difference, almost always a difference.
Yeah, I'd say 95%. I mean, it's almost always different. You're right.
And it's usually a 50-50 kind of thing. If you do fronts at 50,000, let's say you do the fronts at 50,000, you're probably going to go to 60 or 75,000 before you have to do the brakes. Mm-hmm. On my truck, I have 100,000 miles, never done the brakes. Your car has 100,000 miles, Have you ever done the brakes?
I think I've done them once.
Well, you should. The way you drive, you should.
I do.
And you go up and down the mountain a lot.
Yeah, but I do a lot more city driving than you probably.
No, you do. So. Yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
That's my excuse anyway.
Yeah. I wasn't going to call you on that. Yeah. besides, you drive an F car, and they're notoriously bad on brakes.
And those tapes that you were talking about, well, we have some at the shop, but we could also mail them out if anybody wanted some. But I don't think when we did that, the flushing was quite as bad as it is now. Flush your engine. I mean, we never heard of that. And flush your this and flush your that.
You're right.
That's just new stuff that they've come up with in the last 5-10 years. And
it's been at least that because people aren't even going to recognize me.
Yes.
Nevertheless, the purpose of self-defense for car expense has to do with what you need to say. You can also say to them, you know what, let's just do this. My husband's going to ask me, or my wife keeps track of whatever. Blame it on your spouse. Can you show me in the owner's manual where it says that? Not in a sheet he creates or he or she creates. And when I'm talking about this, I'm talking about dealers, independents, and chain stores. We're all guilty of that. The only person that's not guilty of that is me. We don't have our own, and we'll do it based on what we do in our own car. There's a lot of shops that do just that. 602-508-0960. Five lines are open. 602-508-0960. My Mark Salem will be back for another hour. Welcome back, everybody. 4 minutes after the hour, 11 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem. Renee will be back here in just a minute. And if you have a question or a car problem, if you have you want to run something by us with respect to this is what I was told I needed, and my answer is going to be to you, what are the symptoms? And we need A to equal A. So we need to have the time. I'll give you a couple of examples of that, which makes it a little easier to kind of understand why this is kind of important. You go into the shop and you say, when I'm braking, especially when I'm getting off the freeway, my brake pedal is shaking. And I already know that that's going to be that you've got a warped rotor or a warped drum. Otherwise, instead of, you know how when we used to put, I know many of us know this, the young kids don't, you put a record on your record player and it spins really flat and really true. So you put a record and it's been in the sun and it's real warpy. Okay, well, that's what's going on with your rotors. We're talking about sometimes that the thickness of a hair times three. So if you stack three hairs on top of one another, that's the wobble on your rotors. So you just go in and figure out if it's front or back, and you go in there and turn the rotors, and that's it. So that's how this matches that. And then they say, call you back, and they say, hey, we want to machine two of your two front rotors, and we know it's coming from the front, and the diagnosis fee and then the work's going to be $110. And I'm just throwing numbers on here because I don't know exactly what we even charge. So then you say to them, okay, so the $110 is going to fix this problem, my brake pedal shaking. Yes, ma'am, it is. Or yes, sir, it is. That's what it's all about. This is my symptom, and this is what you say it is. And then, are you sure you're going to fix it? Because I don't want to pay for guesses. I have people say that to me. I don't want to pay for guesses. Now, I think they're teasing me, but I understand that.
Yeah.
And it's flat out, I know we're going to do that.
Right.
Then there's lots of shops around that do that kind of work. The problem with some shops, and again, dealers, independent chains, is the person sitting at the front counter doesn't know horse manure from Shinola. I had to do that right. Horse poop to Shinola.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of times when you pick up your car, they're the ones that are talking to you, and all they're doing is regurgitating what they've been told.
Mm-hmm.
So the technician wrote on the ticket that all the brakes are bad, all the belts are bad, and all the hoses are bad.
Mm-hmm.
So the service writer is going to say that to you. So if you ask them, why, and what does my manual say as far as replacement of the hoses and the belts and the brakes, and then they're not going to know the answer to that.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can say, you know what, here's my email address. I need to know why, and I know my husband's going to ask that. Or you can say, if you're a man, my brother's a Subaru technician in Pittsburgh, and I'll run it by him. Those are scary words to hear. those are, you're throwing a little bit of poop on the wall, and it just slid down because you're in a... Now, whether it's true or not, it doesn't make any difference. Mm-hmm. It's just throw it out there. So it's just really in a In most shops, not the dealership realm for sure, but in most shops, you're probably going to be talking to some front counter people that work both sides of the wall. Mm-hmm. They're in the back and they're in the front. And most of the time that's the case. But I think if you ask some questions, you'll know right off the bat. Who's on today? Or who's next?
Bob.
Bob, good morning.
Hey, guys. I have a Nissan Murano six-cylinder secondary car, and I'm going for a CVT flush. But I'm also close to 100,000 miles and debating on spark plugs. Is that something better to take to the dealership? Because I guess there's no plug wires, but supposedly all kinds of gaskets and boots and all kinds of junk they have to replace on those. But it's like a $700 thing for a tune-up that's running fine.
Okay. Have we ever charged? What you're talking about is coil over ignition. We used to have one coil. There's a distributor cap, and we had four, six, or eight wires going to the spark plug. Today, on newer model cars, we have the spark plug in this deep hole, and then we have this little piece of rubber, looks like a heater, no, it looks like fuel hose.
Okay.
And then on top of it is a coil, and it plugs into the top end of this little rubber hose, and the bottom goes to the top of the spark plug. Then there's two screws that hold it down, so that's called coil over ignition. So you take the two screws out, and then you pull the did he hear that?
No, I don't think so. There you go. That was louder.
I heard that.
Yeah.
All right, you pull the thing off gently. You got to twist and pull gently. And then you pull the spark plugs out, you gap them, you put them back in. And then what you do is before you put that little piece of windshield wiper hose, you put a little bit of dab of dielectric grease on the spark plug and on the bottom of the coil. Put that thing in there. You're done.
$700. Yeah, that's a lot.
I got to tell you something. I'm a little concerned about that. I think you should call around. What part of town do you live in?
Cave Creek area.
Yeah. Call Blackwell.
Yeah.
Call Blackwell and just talk to Christy and say, hey, I've got a da-da-da Murano. How much do you charge me to replace the spark plugs?
Yeah.
Now, at 100,000, hold on a minute.
Three are real hard to get at. They got to remove part of the engine or whatever.
Okay, probably the upper intake. Yeah. So
yeah.
It's going to be a little bit more. But you know that... You just don't understand, Bob. There's a lot of work. We've got to remove part of the engine.
And maybe we charge that much, too. I don't know.
Yeah, there's not a lot of room.
Yeah.
I understand that. But anyway, yes, I think you do need spark plugs. They're not proprietary. They're not going to have the name Nissan on them. They're going to be NGK or they're going to be something else. There's a lot of varieties. We could look it up in our we have a wonderful parts department, but they could look it up and they could say, I got five different plugs. Mm-hmm. Denso and NGK. And can you think of any other of those import ones? There's going to be a Champion and a Motorcraft for the same thing. So it doesn't really make any difference.
Okay. I got a question. You were both saying the brakes last in 100,000. My front brakes have lasted that long. The rears haven't. But they say by the time you hit 100,000, you probably need new rotors because they'll be warped. Is that a guess?
We're both sitting here shaking our heads. My God.
Okay. Especially if you've never had brakes done. We haven't turned them. So
if they were warped, that idea is so stupid. That is so stupid. Oh, let's replace your tires because they're 100,000 miles. Let's replace your brakes. Let's replace your gas tank. Let's replace your exhaust system because you've got 100,000 miles on it. It's time.
You'd have some symptoms.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? How much did this estimate was it for the new rotors?
Well, brake job is like 250, but with rotors was 500.
I'm going to go
okay with
that.
But I don't need them yet. They just said save for it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that that's in the ballpark that I'm comfortable with. Well, what about the tune-up?
Okay.
700?
It's 700. Right. See, I called different Nissans. Like, I'll just say one in the middle of town on Camelback said 400. And I'm like, if one guy is 700, one guy's 400, the guy that's 400 is missing something.
Okay.
And they're all Nissan dealerships.
Okay, and that's okay. I'm just like some people like, all independent shops. They like chain stores, whatever. I suggest to you that you should call one of all three. Now, there's a transmission shop that all of a sudden just became an auto repair shop because transmissions are lasting three times longer than they used to be. So now they're reading codes and doing all kinds of work. I'd probably leave that to side. The fact of the matter is when you focus on that, you just ran into something. If you would have said that a few minutes ago, and I would have said, because he was halfway through saying, well, I called a Nissan dealership, and they said 700. Then I called another one, and I would have bet money that they were within $50 of that 700.
Yeah, I was surprised that
two
dealerships are that different.
So anyway, you and let me tell you something. I send cars to the dealer every once in a while because they've got proprietary software that I don't, or I need a second look at it. Mm-hmm. I need a fresh pair of eyes on it. I've had dealership technicians. You remember the guy that came from Chrysler? All he could do was air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
He did nothing but air conditioning. That guy couldn't fix a flat tire. Mm-hmm. That guy couldn't replace an oxygen sensor. He lasted 4 months, and we didn't know when we hired him. We thought he was well-versed because we got good Chevy guys and Honda guys and blah, 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 and he was going to be our Chrysler guy. He never made it.
I don't even
think
it was 4 months, but yeah.
It may not have been
yeah.
because we just figured out real quick that he had no other skills. We've hired other ones from dealerships and independent shops, but we've got some good guys. We just picked up Tommy, who came from a chain store. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, is he good.
Yeah.
I mean to tell you, he is a stunning guy. Scott, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's been with us how many years? He just went on his 20-year
trip.
15-year trip?
Yeah, but... Yeah, he wasn't full-time when he started, so he worked at the car wash first.
Okay.
And then, yeah, so he's probably been there 20 years.
Okay, and I went to high school with his dad, okay? And so he comes in and he says, I'm Adam Strickler.
Yeah.
Okay, and his dad was Sean, I'm pretty sure. And he came in, this kid started at the car wash cleaning up bays and mucking the things. And now he's a master tech, and he's in charge of the diesel side, and there's nothing he doesn't know about Chevy, Ford, Dodge diesels. He is just the most. And then I got Eddie, who's a Ford dog, but he does everything. And Scott and Tommy and John and all those guys. So the idea is that I get people, and we some of our guys have been with us 20 and 30 years.
30
so,
is the most, yeah.
And so as a result of that, we don't have a lot of turnover.
Yeah.
But by the same token, I'm not going to shut a dealership guy out because there's a couple of dealership guys that I would love to hire.
Well, and a lot of times we'll send it to the dealership thinking that they've probably, if it's a really weird problem and they've probably seen it before because it's their type of vehicle.
That's true. That's true. Normally what happens is we'll look at it, and clearly we have never seen this before.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll tell the customer to take it to the dealer, and then we might say to them, and I copied this from other shops, I'll give you a free oil change if you'll bring me back their ticket.
Right.
I want to learn from the ticket. I want to see what fixes it. So you pay them, then you drive it, and if everything's okay for 3 or 4 weeks, come on by, give us a copy of the ticket, we'll give you free oil change next time. So that's kind of how it works. So anyway, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. Bob, I think you need to go someplace else. It's a good idea if you – Cave Creek is where he said it.
Yeah, you told him Blackwell to go check with him.
Yeah, talk to Christy or talk to Tom and just say, can I drop by and can you look at it or can I fax you the sheet and you tell me what you are. But as far as the flushing is concerned – you can do it if you want. All righty, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I'm going to hit this break right on the money so Gil doesn't have to say anything really bad and
whisper
nasty words in my ear. Okay, 21 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock, Mark and Renee Salem here at your service. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
And we don't do the show before the show.
Right.
So on the breaks, folks, we're talking about what we're going to do later on and whether we're going to go in the barn and work or what,
okay.
Right?
Yes.
I don't ask you this in advance.
No.
But this is how my head works. There's
I'm
a difference.
Scared.
I know you should be. There's a difference. But the biggest difference between the dealers and the independent shops, is what? All right, let me kind of set it up a little bit better.
Yeah, I have no idea.
I should have never said the first part.
Mm-hmm.
How many times does the technician come to the front counter and talk to the customer? What percentage of times?
Less than 5.
Okay. But if they ask to talk to the tech?
Absolutely.
Okay. And if they want to go into the shop and talk to the tech, mm-hmm. as long as they don't talk to him for an hour.
Right.
So the customer has access to the technician in most everybody's shop. Folks, and I say everybody's shop, go to marksalem.com, click best shops.
Right.
Marksalem.com, best shops, and you'll be able to see.
And we know those people.
Yeah. And that's the real big difference, because at the dealership level, you're not going to get a technician to come up to the front. You're going to get the service rider first, and then you're going to get the service manager, and he's going to have to go back to talk to the technician, blah, blah, blah. But in the independent market, I would say 75 to 85% of the time, that tech's coming up front. Now, mm-hmm. there is a couple of times they're not. We've hired techs in the past that had body odor, that didn't comb their hair. But come on, go with me on this.
Okay.
It's something...
Rarely, but yes.
Yes. It's something that just doesn't present it well. And then we'll have one of the senior techs mm-hmm. get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, and I'm making fun of it. I'm going to the exaggerated part, okay? He doesn't brush his teeth. He doesn't comb his hair. His fingernails look like hair. I'm just taking it to a picture.
Extreme, yeah, because I don't remember any guys like that. But
well,
anyway.
When I married you, you were that way.
Oh, stop.
And another independent repair shop that does diesel stuff as well as car stuff is strictly diesel. I-17 at Pinnacle Peak Road. I've known Nate for 5 to 10 years, and I don't know the answer to that. Nate's a really good guy. He knows what he's doing. If you got a Dodge, you got a Ford, or a General Motors, the Duramax, he can fix any of those. He just does domestic and foreign light diesel trucks, so he doesn't do the big trucks. So if you got a diesel and you live up near an I-17 and Pinnacle Peak Road, Nate would be your go-to shop, I would think. George, good morning. How can I help you?
Yes, good morning. After some 3, 4, 5 years ago hearing you speak about motor oils when you were racing some kind of a vehicle, I consider you to be pretty much an authority on motor oils. I have a 45-year-old Craftsman air compressor rig that the air pump is worn out. It's got a rod knock.
Okay.
Well, I picked up a duplicate air pump.
Okay.
But I don't know when the last time was it ever had the oil changed. And in my old operator's manual from Craftsman, it says to use 20-weight oil. Well, okay. That went the way of a dodo.
Okay.
And so now I'm looking at if it's made, I'm looking at maybe using 5-20 oil.
You took the words out of my mouth. Let me explain to everybody else. First of all, they make a compressor oil if you want to use it. A 20-weight oil is a real thin oil, mm-hmm. but a 520 is a synthetic.
Okay.
All right. Now, I want you to put your hands 3 inches apart, folks, and that's the protection. Otherwise, when does the oil turn to a tar when it's burnt? It's called oxidizing. And when does the oil freeze like ice cream? The oil freeze like ice cream. So that's called the pour point, oxidation and pull point. So 3 inches apart is conventional. Move your hands out twice as much. That's a blended oil. And then move your hands out 4 feet, and that's synthetic. That's the coverage. Now, admittedly, your air compressor isn't going to see 60 below zero. Admittedly, your compressor isn't going to see an oil temperature of north of 500 degrees. But a synthetic will provide that. Plus, it has long-term coverage. Now, the 20-weight oil is going to flow like a 20-weight. It'll have the properties of a 20-weight. The 5 is going to have the properties of a 5-weight. But the real benefit on 520 is that it's going to use less amps. And I also want to tell you, in the barn, I have an air compressor, and once a year I change the oil, and I'm using a synthetic, a 020. So the only difference between your compressor and my car is that you don't have a filter, and neither do I.
Mm-hmm.
So I always run it as hot as I can to drain the oil. So, but you don't have a filter on your air compressor, but once a year is something I can live with. So,
but 0-20. You told him 520, not 020.
And you're right.
Okay.
I did. A 020 is a synthetic.
Okay.
A 520, I think, is still a synthetic, but the designation kind of tells me what it is. Let me tell you something else, just so I can pat myself on the back. I've been trained as a Valvoline. I've been trained in Ashland, where Valvoline's home office is
Kentucky.
In their laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trained there, and I've been trained by Chevron. So I have testified about an oil expert, and I understand the differences of oils. And there's so many fallacies out there, but I'm just not going to hop on my white horse and go slay all those dragons. But thank you for bringing that up. So I would use either a 020 or a 520, and that'll be fine.
Is there such a thing as a 520, or is that just my imagination?
No, I'm pretty sure we pour a 520.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just, you know, go to Walmart or something and look for a name brand that you recognize.
Napa has the biggest collection for me. So.
Okay. Oh, no, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. And plus, if you have a relationship with him, 10-4. That'd be fine. Thank you very much, buddy. All righty. We've talked about Blackwell Auto more than a few times. Mm-hmm. Tom and I are friends. As of all the other best shops, we're friends. I have their cell phones. They have mine.
Yeah.
Blackwell's the only one that sends people to my order pizza, stuff like that. He does that, but I do the same thing to him.
Yeah.
Polly, which is Tom's wife, is the real bright light, if I can say that, to the group. She's really very good. Mm-hmm. Tom's a good guy, and he really knows what he's doing. Okay, real quick. There's a lady who buys, like, I don't know, $3,000 worth of air conditioning stuff for an old Chevy pickup.
Okay.
She sends it to a friend of hers. He kind of gets halfway through it, and he can't go no more. There isn't anybody in the world that wants to touch that.
Sure.
Nobody wants to touch that. I call around, and I can't get anybody to raise their hand. First of all, the kit is for a V8, and she's got a six-cylinder. Then the kit involves all kinds of changing underneath the dash, putting switches, putting electrical wires, putting a blower motor resistor, and underneath the hood, you got all the hoses and all the hardware. It's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who the only idiot was that raised his hand?
Blackwell. Yeah.
He says, I can make anything she wants. Mm-hmm. He says, whether she wants to pay the money, but the money that the other guy may have charged is insignificant at this point. If she wants somebody to come in and wave their magic wand, Blackwell raised his hand.
Yeah. It's hard to do when it comes in a box you haven't seen, or you have to make all these adapt. And the other thing is, the best car repair shops, it's not just your friend. They're not on there just because they're your friends. They're on there because they've passed some,
they've been referred by people.
Yeah, regulations that we have or whatever.
Rules.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have done a lot. We've done all the reviews. We checked with the Better Business Bureau. They have the right insurance. They have ASC certified technicians. The owner's on site more than he's not on site. Mm-hmm. Typically, they've been in business, I think it's more than 5 years. Most of these guys have been in business 20 years. Mm-hmm. Well, let's say between 10 and 30.
Right.
Okay. So it is something that we work really hard. And we haven't taken anybody new in. I don't remember the last new shop.
Yeah.
It's been years and years. It could have been 5 years for all that matters. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. After the hour of 11 o'clock, Mark and Renee Salem at your service here, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. We have four lines open. We've got one that's already taken, but I'm going to tell you about Automatic Transmission Exchange. The only transmission shop in Phoenix that I have on my list is Automatic Transmission Exchange. He's at 40th Street in Washington. They've been in business since 1968, so they've been around the block a couple of times. You're not going to walk in there and find some kid that hasn't started shaving. Most of those guys have been around for a very long time. So Automatic Transmission Exchange, 40th Street in Washington. Let me take Jerry real quick, and then we're going to talk about something that's important to me.
Okay.
Jerry, good morning. What can I do for you?
Good morning, Mark and Renee. I got an 09 Durango. It's got 165,000 miles on it. The heads have been diagnosed as, because it's burning oil, about every 300 or 400 miles are going through a quart. My question to you is, do I bother changing the oil, or do I just continue to add oil and change the filter?
I'll take those one at a time. You can change the filter every 5,000 miles. Just keep putting fresh oil in it, changing it. What weight oil are you putting in it?
That's supposed to be in at 520. I've tried others, and it just seems to burn at the same rate anyway.
Okay. I'm not concerned about, at this point, a 520 flows like a 5 weight when it's cold and flows like a 20 weight when it's hot. If I were you, I'd put 40 weight in it. Where's the oil going? Are you leaking it, or is it coming out the tailpipe?
Oh, it's blowing out the tailpipe. The valve seals are bad on it.
Okay.
And with the condition of the vehicle, I don't think it's worth putting $4,500 or $4,000 into it to fix it. I just assume save that money and put it into something new, and this one finally bites the dust.
Okay, now, that $4,500 is like worst-case scenario. There's lots of steps before that.
That's like a new engine almost.
That's a new intake, or that's new heads. That's from heads up. That's take the heads off, reinstall all the valve guides. Here's the deal. You have some umbrella seals that are supposed to keep oil from running down. We want a little bit of oil to run down the shaft because it's going to go in and out of the valve guide. The first thing I'd want to know is how many plugs are fouling.
It seems to be running just fine.
I don't seem to have a funny way
to idling or miss when I hit it hard.
And no smoking, no blue smoke.
Oh, no, it's smoking.
It's smoking,
okay.
That's what I mean,
if it's smoking, it's getting past the catalytic converter. It's overcome the catalytic converter. I would expect that he'd have some spark plugs fouled after some period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, if we turn this into an old-fashioned smoke machine, then how come we don't have fouled plugs? I don't know. What's going on here? I think the first thing that should happen is somebody pulls the spark plugs out and looks at them. Is this across the board, or is this one or two cylinders? I think that's important. Number two, a wet-dry compression test will tell us whether it's the rings or not. And we drop a camera down the spark plug hole and look at the top of the piston. Second of all, it's not going to cost but a couple $100, maybe $200 or $300, I'm just guessing, to go in there and put valve seals on it. So we go in there, we air up the cylinder, we get the piston on top dead center so the air pressure holds the valves in. We take a special tool, we pull the keepers out, we pull the spring off. The valve is still in position because if it drops down in the motor, we are in big trouble. So then we take off the O-ring or the umbrella seal, we put a new umbrella seal on there, we put the spring back on, put the keepers back in it, and move to the next one. So I'm not quite sure that everything matches. I'm not saying you're not telling me the truth.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned about the oil, and if it were transmission fluid we were sucking, it'd be white smoke.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of just thinking out loud. I think it's just worth another take a look at. What part of town do you live in?
Oh, I use Kurtz.
Okay, well, Kurtz doesn't know.
He's a great guy, so.
Oh, he does not. He is not. He's got Kurt, Jeff, and Eric are probably the best team other than Bob and Jeremy at Harker's Automotive. Yeah. I mean, those are big dog shops. So just go in there and, I mean, I just say to them, let's make sure it's what it is. And I think the $4,500 may be, let's pop the heads off of it and either put rebuild ones on or
and maybe
do that
they've
one.
Already done all that and they've looked at that and that's what they've told them. So
it's possible.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah.
But here's what bugs me. We're not fouling spark plugs.
Yeah.
That kind of oil consumption, we should be fouling spark plugs. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm sure they will have an answer. And if you go back to them, I'm sure I'll get a call within 10 minutes after you leave.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to defer to them, though, and I'll tell you why. They've seen it.
Exactly.
It's been there.
There you go.
So I'm going to defer to them. And if I'm not on the right track, then you just tell Eric or
Mark
Kurt,
doesn't know what he's talking about. You can tell him that
just
for me.
Just tell him to call the show and correct me. Anyway, that Jerry, you're at one of the best shops in town.
Yeah.
And maybe talk to him again. But anyway, thank you, Jerry. Thank you very much.
And we talked about the best car repair shops that, you know, we know these people and they've been in business a long time. We have lost a few over the years. In the last 5 years, just because people are retiring. So somebody else has taken over the management. There's a couple of them that are getting ready to come back on because they have been in business 5 years, and we're going to check them out and make sure their ratings are still as good as they were. And you know,
well, Buyer Motor Works down in Chandler that does BMW. And matter of fact, we leaned on them the other day because of that stupid alternator that was eating our lunch.
Right. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, when you look at it, Buyer Motor Works was purchased by someone else.
Yeah.
They're real close to their 5 years. They've had a wonderful IMM.
Right.
IMM is an import guy that does Volvos. Nobody else does.
Right.
They are the best. David retired. And so his number one guy took over.
Right.
Then you got a Schumann's Auto. That turned into a body shop, mechanical shop, and it's probably not going to go.
Right.
Probably because there's no interest.
Sure.
But we've also put some guys on that are somewhat new, mm-hmm. And they've been on 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. But we've kicked two guys off.
That's it.
That's it. We've kicked two guys off.
Since 1988. So that's been a long time.
Yep. Alrighty. 602-508-0960. The lines are wide open. If you have a question or you want me to referee an argument between you and your wife, give me a call. Forty-four minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. My name is Mark Salem. Sitting next to me here is my wife Renee. We've been in business since 1979 together.
Yep.
And we've learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned a lot. Andy just called me, our daughter, and she says, "You're sure talking about us a lot because you say I never do." Or right. I say, "Let me defend myself real quick before I talk to Bob." I think you'll agree, and if not, just raise your hand, that I am really good at talking to different shop owners and adopting things that they've done that I think are great.
Mm-hmm.
I think we are a conglomeration of 30 or 40 or 50 shops that we admire
mm-hmm.
and that have, I've asked them questions and they go, "Well, we do this." And I go, "That's better than what we do."
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've never said the name of the shop today.
Okay.
So this isn't about our shop. Mm-hmm. This is about auto repair industry, the independent auto repair industry in the Phoenix Valley area. Mm-hmm. This is about the good guys. I've been doing this since 1988. We have been doing radio since 1988. It has never been about our shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go years without saying the name of our shop unless somebody calls and just asks me
flat
out.
I've never heard you go years, but that's okay.
Well, how often do you think it is?
I don't know.
Well, go ahead. Now that you called my bluff, go ahead and say, what do you think? Once a year? Twice a year? Five times a year?
Maybe 10 times a year.
Oh, 12. That isn't true. I can ask Gil. Okay. Oh, Gil, turn your microphone on. Turn your microphone on,
Salem,
Gil.
Salem, you're going to be sorry.
No,
he'll probably say 36.
No.
Three times a month.
Gil, turn your microphone on.
Come on.
All right. Gil, since you've been doing, what time, when did we
start? Be honest, Gil.
Yeah, that's fine. How long, we've been here since 11, okay? Since
2011
on this station. Gil, you've been my executive producer, my technical person for how many years?
About 8 out of the 11, I would think.
Okay, 8 out of the 11. How many times a year have you heard me say the name of my shop? Gil, are you there?
Maybe a half dozen times.
Bingo.
Bingo. And he's being nice. And okay, it doesn't matter. Go to Bob.
Yes, it does matter because you just lost credibility with everybody on the radio show.
They know. They've been listening.
Gil has no reason to lie because he's in Phoenix right now.
Okay.
Okay. Bill, let's go to Bob. Bob, good morning. How can we help you?
Good morning. I've got an 06 Duramax, and when I pull a small toy hauler that's pretty much vertical in the front, summertime I have trouble cooling, especially going uphill.
Okay, tell me what the gauge looks like. Let me ask you this.
It'll run about 210, normally.
Uh-huh.
And I think 260 is the red line, and I try to keep it, below 260, run about 230, pull on the trailer or whatever.
Okay.
And I will, manually shift it. It's an automatic, but I can hold it in gear, and I try to hold it about 2,500 RPM to keep the thing up, and the fan clutch is working. It roars.
Okay. All right. Then that's good. I mean, you've given me a lot of stuff right now. I need to know how heavy the trailer is you're pulling.
I think it's about 7,000-8,000 pounds.
So it's just a two-axle trailer?
Correct, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
A small toy hauler.
All right, is it a boy or is it a boy? Is it a hitch to the ball on the back of the bumper, or is it a gooseneck or fifth wheel?
Yeah, bumper pull.
Bumper pull. And I like the fact that you're downshifting it yourself. How many miles are on this thing?
275.
Okay. Has a radiator ever been cleaned or replaced?
No.
Okay. This is what I'm thinking out loud. I'm not worried about 230, 240.
Okay.
I'm not even worried about 250. The 260 I get a little uncomfortable with. He says something that's really important. The fan clutch is howling.
Right.
Okay? So that's good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that tells me the gauge is pretty close to being right, but it'll come on and off anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I like that he pulls it down into gear.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. I'm going to fix your car for you, and it's going to cost you $10.
Cool.
You ready?
Yeah.
Well, and he's also a camper. Okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to Harbor Freight and buy one of those temperature guns that's got the little red beam on it. Okay?
Right, I've got one of those, and I shoot it, and I have a temperature drop of probably, the area I can see is probably 15 degrees.
Okay.
Top to bottom.
Okay. Top, like top hose to bottom hose?
On the core itself.
Okay, I want you to do the two hoses.
Okay.
Okay, because we're going to pump it out of the motor into the top, and you probably have a horizontal radiator where the tubes run horizontal. So all the water gets dumped into the passenger side of the radiator. Then it goes horizontally through the radiator, and it's supposed to drop its heat off as it does that. Then there's a suction port on the bottom of the radiator that goes to the water pump. So we're taking water out of the top of the motor, we're running it through the radiator, and then it's being sucked down the lower by the water pump, and it comes and it goes through the motor to pick up the heat. So it picks up the heat, drops the heat, picks up the heat, drops the heat. So I want you to gun the top and bottom hoses, and I also want you to gun the top hose when you have something on your gauge that's close. So if you're sitting at 240, I'd really like you to pull off to the side of the road and gun that upper hose. And if your wife's there and she hasn't been drinking, then just touch the fuel or the throttle and just bring the RPMs up to kind of keep it warm. But I like everything that you do, but the 275.
So just the top hose, not the bottom hose?
No, because the water's coming out of the engine on the top hose. So I want to get that.
Right.
Now, this is pre-radiator is the top hose.
Right.
Post-radiator is the bottom hose.
Okay.
I'd like to have a little bit more split than 10 to 15 degrees. I'd just like to know if there's more to it.
Okay.
I could probably do my Dodge, but it just doesn't. I mean, I can tow the Holiday Inn up to Payson, and I hardly get over 210.
No, I was hauling the horses one time, and it did overheat on me. So
it gets close to the red. Don't use overheat, because overheat means to us is it's
puking. It was in the red. I thought that was overheating.
It's spitting cooling all over the ground, and it's buried. The needle's in the red, buried.
Okay.
You drove my Duramax or my Dodge?
The one you have now.
The Dodge?
Yeah.
I never even knew that.
Oh, yeah, you did, because I called you, and I said, how come it's overheating?
You're hauling horses?
Yeah.
How fast were you trying to go?
I don't know. Not that fast.
Oh,
but you said I wasn't going fast enough. That's probably what the problem was.
Well, let me ask you. You called me, and I said you're not going fast enough. So if you sped up or if you downshifted, did the gauge go down a little bit?
I can't remember now.
Well, that's the problem. See, we can't argue about something where every time I ask you a tough question, you go, I can't remember. But anyway, Bob, I think you should do that.
So you think the radiator might be plugged?
Well, he's got 275,000 miles on it.
Yeah, and that's a lot.
And that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he could gun the radiator in different places. He could do a complete circle, you know. But it's hard to get through the grill.
Yeah.
You know? And then another thing is the air conditioning condenser is in front of the radiator, so you're really not getting a good reading. And you can't do it from the windshield side of the radiator because there's all that cowling.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm moving him to the top and the bottom hose.
Okay.
So it's just hard to do what I want him to do. Now, if he had an infrared light, he could go through the grill, and it would give him a pattern of what's hot and what's not. Now, here's the deal. The water goes from the passenger side to the driver's side, right?
Okay. I don't know.
You know, I'm telling you it
does.
Okay, if you looked at the radiator and the half on the passenger side is real hot, and then there's a drop of 10 degrees on the driver's side, it shows that we've got a lot of hot water coming in, but we're not running a lot of
we're not cooling it down enough.
We're not cooling it down. That's what I wanted to say. So that's kind of what it is. The 275 bugs me. I like it. Like I said, I'd like it. He drops a shift on it. He's pulling the and he has the best transmission in any diesel, that Duramax.
Okay.
It's got the Allison. So he pulls it down until he brings his ours probably close to 1,800, 2,000, somewhere around there. And then he just goes up the hill. He can still, depending on what gear he's in, he can still do 65. That Duramax is a monster, too. The Duramax is a 6.6 liter. Go ahead.
Yeah, to cool it, you know, sometimes I'm down to 45 miles an hour.
Okay.
You know, because, you know, everything's, you know, up to temperature. The transmission is, you know, following the radiator gauge. The transmission gauge follows the radiator gauge.
Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you have both of those gauges in your truck?
Yes.
Okay, and what kind of a split do you get out of those?
Probably takes an hour and a half or so, and then they will balance, and they'll both run exactly the same.
Okay.
And then when the engine will heat quicker than the transmission, but then the, you know, the transmission will follow it, and then the transmission will, if I top a hill and going down, then it starts, the engine starts cooling quicker than the transmission. I've got a lot of transmission to cool.
Okay, okay. All right, so I'm thinking out loud. He gets the radiator, the engine temperature exceeds the transmission on the beginning. Then they meet.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the downside, the radiator cools off faster than the transmission does.
Okay.
And now I have on my Dodge, I have those gauges too. I was kind of surprised that you did because I don't see very many people that have both gauges. My engine always runs about 10 degrees hotter than my transmission does. The two of them will rise together when I'm hauling a bunch of fat horses up the mountain. And I'm not talking about my sisters either. Okay. So, if I'm hauling the big trailer with like the tractor on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, and then the two of them will split at that point, but not to the range he is.
Okay.
I'll be five over than the tranny. And then I don't know where his tranny cooler is, but I'm pretty sure we're not running his transmission through the radiator. And there's a cooler inside the radiator.
Right, yeah.
I'm sure that there's an external transmission. The only thing I can ask you is have you ever gone to the car wash and run high pressure water through the radiator and the cooler and everything in the front? Not close enough to where you're bending the fins, but doing a vertical and then a horizontal thing, even to take the grill off, and let's see if we can blow some trash out of it, and you're likely to have three. You're likely to have a transmission cooler, an air conditioning condenser, and then the radiator. So I don't really have...
I'm afraid to get too aggressive with that because of bending fins. Yeah.
Well, and that's what I said. When you start bending fins, you got to pull that gun back. Now, what kind of pressure do our guns at the car wash?
Oh, I don't know what the pressure is.
I can tell you, I can bend fins on my truck at our place, I can also not bend fins. Maybe I'm 12 inches apart, plus the fan at that point is about 10 inches.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I think if you were going to make it, if you wanted to make a drastic change, I'd do the radiator. I think that's what I'd do. But I think if you gun the top and the bottom hose. Now, here's something else. Gun your wife's top and bottom hose. I know she's not hauling what you're hauling, but just see what the difference is. If she's got a 20-degree difference and the best you can pop is a 10 or 11-degree difference, that might say something. It just depends. She's not hauling the load that he is.
Yeah, but that's not much, though. I don't know.
Well, the real cure for this is just go buy a new Dodge. That's the real cure. But it's probably a radiator's probably cheaper.
Yeah.
But anyway, thank you very much. That was a good question. But I have experience with that because I'm monitoring those two temperatures as well. Synthetic transmission fluid's going to turn to a tar at about 500 degrees. But here's the deal. Your transmission is toast at 350, 400.
Sure.
Just toast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like synthetic oil in your car. The synthetic oil turns to you've seen the Mobile One commercials where they have it in the frying pan,
yes,
and it starts to oxidize or turn to a tar at 500 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great marketing thing.
But
your motor's toast at about 270, 280, a 300, it's toast.
So you really don't need it that hot.
But the benefit to synthetic is the time between oil changes.
Mm-hmm.
It's significant, and it's significantly better.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go longer on oil changes, and some people, like in Ahwatukee that we provide service to, they're just one time a year, but we put conventional because they're 3,000 to 5,000 miles. 3,000 to 5,000 miles a year, bring it in April,
mm-hmm,
we'll change your oil, and it's $50.
Mm-hmm.
If you go 15,000 miles a year, we can do one oil change for 80 to, depending on the car.
Yeah, 75 to 90.
One a year in April, because mm-hmm, that's when we get through the summer.
Yep.
So those are the kind of things that you should worry about. Mark at marksalem.com. mark@marksalem.com. If I said something wrong today, then you can write me a nice
email
letter.
Email
Yeah, email me, but don't use any bad words, please. Thank you for spending your Saturday. I'll see you next Saturday.